RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Okay, motherfucker!
What are you looking at, sir?
I'm looking at you, miss.
Run that, baby.
I'm not the Zodiac. And if I was, I certainly wouldn't tell you.
I can't copy his style, so I'm not going to say, and we're back. It's Blake Howard, Drew Taylor. This is Dis Around the Corner, brought to you by One Hit Minute Productions. It's your sort of fortnightly, as we would say, every 2 weeks, chit chat where Drew and I go through what's happening in the news of physical media. We tell you what we've picked up. We tell you about some hot releases coming around the corner. Drew, welcome back. Good to see you, my friend.
Thank you. I think we need to ask our listeners, which there are at least one dozen, if they like the title of the show. Is it too referential to Heat? Is it not referential enough? And will we one day record an episode of this show from the Bob's Big Boy in Burbank with a stack of movies sitting across the table from each other?
I think we should, if we went on a shopping montage trip of buying stuff together and then had a delicious milkshake at Bob's.
I love that.
That would be fantastic.
And then we visit the same divorce attorney because our wives are going to leave us because of all this crap.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Hot off of the last chat that we had, I just want to let all the listeners know my copy of Domino has indeed arrived. Thank you to Drew Taylor. It does have a commentary with Tony Scott and Richard Kelly. I haven't even cracked the seal on it yet because I want to enjoy it. I want it to be really, really special.
And my copy of G.I. Samurai has arrived, which I ordered during the last podcast.
Yeah, same.
And then, of course, days later, I get an email from our good friends at Arrow that they're putting out one domestically. So,
oh man,
it's okay. You know, I think part of collecting physical media is getting additional copies of things.
Yeah,
and sometimes giving them to people, sometimes trading them in for something you want. And sometimes, you know, seeing what's different about them, seeing the different transfers and special features.
And also the I want to call it like crushing realization, but it almost sometimes is kind of funny. You kind of enjoy it. Is like you get that second version of something. You're like, all right, I'm getting this. It's perfect. Let's just say it's like the Great Sorcerer that came out from Criterion. I'm like, I'm going to get Sorcerer. I already have Sorcerer on Blu-ray twice. Maybe, just maybe, I can get rid of one of or two of those. And then you do your research and you talk to the folks in the know and you do a bit of a compare watching. You're like, I now need to keep all three because all three have different
qualities. Yeah, exactly. If I'm without that 15-minute long making of documentary, then the whole thing is just for naught.
Exactly. And so I think I now have, like, I'm looking over at my shelf there. There's like three Taxi Drivers because, like, one of them still has the Criterion Laserdisc commentary on it, so I can't get rid of that. And
the worst, like, is Disney, because each version of the animated stuff has a different thing on it.
So when
I'm like doing these big pieces, I'm like, I have to go back and watch, try to find every single little bit of, footage or whatever, and they're always
in
different.
Oz, we only ever have two versions of the main Disney stuff, because I get them all for my kids, right? Like, so eventually I get them, and especially, you know, if we go on holidays and stuff like that, before, you know, internet was so reliable in certain places, I would always just take like a little spare Blu-ray player I've got here, and I'd take a pile of movies for the kids to watch. But are you saying in Oz we always have like a sort of special edition that has like a standard bunch of stuff and then a single disc, and then only rarely you get something like Wall-E from like Criterion or something like that that has all of the different stuff? But saying that you guys get all sorts of
I'm looking right now. Oh yeah. So there was I'm looking at just Cinderella. Okay. Cinderella came out as a 3-disc diamond edition in 2012. There was a just single disc diamond edition also in 2012. There is a 4K edition that came out in 2023. There is an anniversary edition that came out in 2019.
Jesus Christ.
And I am sure there are multiple variations within that as well. It's maddening. It's absolutely maddening. Oh, but, we do it, especially, animation is a big, we're going to talk about some animation this week. It's tough, but this is the plight. This is the crucible that we go on,
If you know Drew and know what a phenomenal writer and sort of like champion of animation that is just yet another wrinkle as to why he's grumpy. If you ever talk to him, I'm like, there's a few filmmakers where I've got like every copy of every version of the film that I can get my hands on of that particular filmmaker, but that would drive me insane.
Yeah. Especially because I saw how many I still kept, because I recently, like in the last couple of years, started the spreadsheet that I now have to document anytime something comes in, it's got to go onto the spreadsheet, and just seeing how much
I have
how many of these things.
I have a private letterbox list, which I might actually only share with you. Which has my entire library in the room, and on multiple occasions, I've just impulsively gone and got something, and then I check the list, and I'm like,
and you see that you have it.
It's already there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and then I look on the shelves, and I'm like, where is it?
And see, the problem with the letterbox thing is that, again, multiple copies. You have to deem which ones are which. I have little notes about, is it a steelbook? Is it is it out of print? I want to know that. Because, if I want to lend anything out, I got to know, what my return is going to be.
I'm not a big champion of things like AI things, but one might be useful is if I could take a photo of my shelf and then it could read what all the titles were and then put it into a spreadsheet. That would be really handy. That would be really handy, because then I don't have to type, what I think now is getting to be like 2,600 titles. I really don't.
The last one that I just entered, which is the new Running Man, which was literally just delivered to my house before we started recording the lovely steelbook, is the 4,185th movie.
Bless your heart.
So, anyway, let's talk about things. We wanted to talk about the very ridiculous controversy surrounding the K-pop Demon Hunters admission to the Criterion Collection.
Yeah, it's so, for starters, I'm incredibly happy for these random studios that for contemporary films somehow have a fast track to Criterion in a positive way, like whether you've got something like Joachim Trier's like Sentimental Value or those sorts of things. Like, actually this week from the really cool folks at Mad Men in Australia, there's like a standard Blu-ray edition of Sentimental Value that came out, which I was keen to get my hands on. They've got interviews with the cast and stuff like that. It's obviously not going to be as like sexy and amazing as the Criterion one, which I will most likely get my hands on, but it's cool to have on physical media as it is. And you're like, I love these fast track ones, but also there is a real like bottom line thing in physical media, which is that you do need, if you're a company, to have like one or two like super size releases that allow you the permission to continue to create the fantastic array of odds and ends that you make. And I think it happens with Imprint. It happens with all, definitely all the small labels, Radiance. I think it probably keep their amount of copies and the style of their Blu-rays at a certain level. But like when I heard that K-pop Demon Hunters was coming out, the first thing I thought is Criterion have never had to print that many Blu-rays. I don't imagine a title that is going to have as many copies of as K-pop Demon Hunters that they need to print. That will run out. They might have to print like five times as much as me, and it will sell out, and they'll just keep having to create that impression again and again so that it's just there as a permanent fixture. Like it's a lock for like done, dusted,
finished. Yes. And it's great because it's going to introduce the Criterion Collection to a lot of younger people who have never heard of the Criterion Collection or who have never bought a disc. Like you said, it's going to bolster their buying.
Wall-E's going to go off the shelves as well, I imagine, for like younger kids, right? Like if you're fan of animation, it's just going to go like, that's going to fly. And then the next one's like, oh, what's another animation that Criterion has? Wall-E. Yeah. Okay, fantastic. That's going to run off the shelves.
Yes. They haven't traditionally done a lot of animation either, so I'm very happy in that regard. I think, I'm lobbying right now real hard to write that essay. I feel like I was an early K-pop adopter, and I feel like if anybody could do it. But yeah, I mean, it's very exciting. And then Frankenstein is coming too, which I'm very excited about. There's going to be a different cut, a new cut, which has yet to be compiled, but will be on that disc. And so, yeah, I'm all about it. I think it's great.
I'm all about it too. And I think there are some really good animations that feel like they could or should be Criterion's. You know, you get Grave of the Fireflies or something like that. Like surely that, you know, like there's some sort of big seminal, like the bridge between sort of artistic artistic and commercial animation that could probably fit in there. But like, it would be really cool if like they ever graced like, I don't know, a Pinocchio or something, like, you know, you think about it, but it's probably not going to happen, but like, it's just really cool that this has happened.
Yeah. And what's interesting is that a lot of like Pinocchio and all the Miyazaki and everything, they're constantly being put back out on home video. And they chose a title that without them would never have come out on home video. So that's the other like sweet spot. It's like, okay, this is a Netflix movie that never would have come out. And now we're going to rescue it and give it this deluxe ass treatment with all the artwork and everything that you want and expect. And you know, if I had to be a betting man, I would say it was probably going to come out before Christmas. I know that's a wild, wild take, but I think that's probably when it'll come out or sometime around there. And it's super exciting. So
I love it. I think it's
great. Speaking of animation, Blake, we could just jump into my pick for this week, which is Angel's Egg from Umbrella. Our favorites.
Yeah.
And have you watched this yet, or have you? Have you ever seen it?
I've seen it ages ago. I did when I was at university and I was doing film studies. One of the films on our curriculum was Angel's Egg, and I have not watched it since probably 2003.
We don't need to say when. Yeah,
it was quite a long time ago.
So you know, it's a masterpiece and has been, you know, very much difficult to find and hard to come by. And last year, it played in a new 4K restoration at Cannes, and then a few weeks later, it played at Annecy, which I was there, but I didn't get to see. But Mamoru Oshii, who directed Ghost in the Shell, most famously, this is it's a 71 minute kind of like tone poem. I hate when people call things tone poems, but we'll go out on a limb with this, and just beautifully restored by Umbrella with some great essays, because the movie is very elliptical, we should say. It's very abstract. It's largely wordless, and I mean, G-Kids picked it up for domestic distribution, but it has not gotten a physical release here yet. Although it is on HBO Max in America, so if you are curious and don't want to import a $70 Australian 4K, I actually went over to my friend's house, Shannon Tindall, who directed the great Ultraman Rising, which yes. I wrote the Ultraman Rising book for, and he had an extra. He said, "I don't know how this happened, but I had two copies. Take it." So this is his extra copy. Again, on the subject of having extra copies for things, that's one of the benefits. You can say, "Oh yeah, I have two of those. Why don't you take
well,
it?"
Please.
So
I've only currently got two copies of the Tony Scott film Revenge and Minority Report that people can take right now. So if you come and visit me.
Come on down. Have you watched the Minority Report 4K?
I did. I just watched it the other day. Got it.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I mean, it's a movie that's really made for that kind of transfer, and it just looks, oh my God. The sound.
Yeah.
The sound is nuts. Dolby sound is insane. Oh, wow.
Yes.
Oh, but that's so fun. Look at you, like friend, like other physical media.
That's friends. Right.
Like yeah. out there,
the brotherhood.
Stuff. The brotherhood is
the
out
brotherhood.
There. Shannon, yeah. shout out to you. Ultraman,
Shannon, very yeah. Fun. Watch Ultraman Rising. Just won like 3 Emmys earlier this week, so very proud of my boy.
Hell yeah, dude.
Ken Sato. Yes,
love that. I've got a couple that are kind of right on the precipice of being released. I just got a batch from again our friends at Umbrella. I want to shout out one now. Any chance I get. I'll probably end up talking about it to my friend Alexi Toliopoulos, because one of his favorite movies, who he actually does a commentary track on it. There is an Australian seminal teen classic, Looking for Ala Brandy, that is receiving its. It was released in 1999. Speaking of the great movie years, it was released in 1999. Stars Pia Miranda, based off an incredibly popular book in Australia by an author named Melinda Marchetta. It's about a young Greek girl, like ethnic girl growing up in Sydney, and sort of like clash of cultures as she's, you know, coming of age in high school, and tragedy that hits her life and fun and just her, you know, Greek diaspora family, like dealing with being in sort of white bread Sydney. And it kicks ass. It's like, it's a curriculum book in the Australian curriculum when you're growing up. And it was adapted into this movie, which was incredibly popular. It was a huge, gigantic movie in Australia. And for the longest time...
So like 50 people saw it? That's a huge wish. Hit in Australia.
You wish. Yeah. No, it was a huge hit in Australia. It probably had no play and no business playing anywhere else. But it's a terrific movie. It's finally gotten this absolutely ridiculous Umbrella Special Edition 4K. There's a ton of new features. There's Q&As, there's director commentaries, there's round tables with, and there's new and interviews with the stars of the film as well. It's got all this artwork, it's got a poster. It's just a fantastic, joyful, excellent Australian teen movie. So like, I know that if you're a physical media fan, you might be like down the Beresford rabbit hole and be like, I've heard of things like Puberty Blues and those sorts of like Australian movies from the Australian new wave in teens. But if you want something that like is reflective of the kind of teen life that I experienced, it's kind of like a perfect movie to watch. You might've seen Two Hands with Heath Ledger and Rose Byrne, but this was like the other big young person movie in a much less sort of like Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels way that you have to have your hands on. So like, this has like been on people's shelves on DVD for many, many years, and Umbrella finally were like, this is a big Australian title that deserves the special treatment. And it finally came out and it's just a joy. It's like, this was like a real warm hug, you know, of a movie to see that they were giving the special treatment to. So I'm so glad it's here. And if you're an Aussie collector or you're a fan of Australian film and you've never heard of it or seen it, this is just truly one of the greatest Aussie films, definitely of that decade and maybe for the last sort of 30 years. It's a killer movie and big recommend from me. Looking for Ala Brandy.
I just have to correct you though. Came out on May 4th, 2000. So just missed 1999.
Oh, did it? It says 99.
That's what my half-assed internet research
well,
is showing.
Sorry.
Also, Matt. This is how you know it's very Australian, because Silverchair did
hell
some
yeah.
of the music for
hell,
it.
Hell yeah, they did. and killing Heidi as well. So
and Lotel. Never heard of Lotel, but
oh, Drew, once you dive into Lotel, you'll never go back. It's a really great release, but it's a sort of 99, 2000 definitely was probably doing sneakies in the latter part of 99 in Oz.
All right.
That's for me. What else you got?
Well, the other one I wanted to talk about is the new Excalibur.
Did that just get like a massive new batch of print like come out because it was so popular?
I don't know. I mean, I watched a like test disc for it, and it is, that's why my package is not open, but I have watched it. And it just looks and sounds incredible. It's the first time that it's had the correct aspect ratio since its theatrical presentation, which is insane. So every single home video had a different aspect ratio, and it's just amazing. It's got the 120 minute TV cut of the movie, which is very different. Maybe it should have been closer to 120 minutes. That's something for you to discuss. I showed my wife, who was like, why are we watching this? And I was like, it's great. I don't know. I feel like it is sort of the masterpiece of the 80s fantasy kind of milieu.
It feels like it's in the post Game of Thrones world. The influence of Excalibur is so massive and monumental that you're like, you really feel it, but it took like 20 years, 30 years for people to actually be like, no, when I go back and I want like fantasy and I want weirdness and I want violence and I want sexuality, it's like, that's the one that's the big, you know.
I think that and Conan are probably the two kind of like tent poles of that period. And it's amazing that so many were made because so few were actually hits. There was a recent Krull 4K that came out from Sony that's also really good, that came out in a steelbook. That's a personal favorite, but I would argue not as influential. I think your guy Zack Snyder, this is his favorite movie ever.
My guy.
So
my guy?
You're always talking about him, and
this is many lies from Drew Taylor, but that's fine. It's fine.
He has a big poster in his gym, so you know he's working out to it.
You wish. I was just gonna say, I'm holding what I think is the most beautiful, because I just watched this the other day again. Beautiful steelbook, American steelbook of Kingdom of Heaven. And when you were saying that your wife was like, why are we watching this? My wife actually literally walked in and goes, what is this? Like, what are you watching? And I was like,
you're like, it's the 4-hour cut. Please leave me alone.
It's the 4-hour cut of Ridley Scott's absolutely unimpeachable director's cut masterpiece of Kingdom of Heaven, which is the best. And man alive, what a great movie. That's so good. Excalibur. But no, so why I was quickly just checking is Arrow are the great folks who brought out that Excalibur. It's an amazing set. And I was reading an article the other day, and I'll try and find it, and I'll put it in the show notes, is like that there was actually such a run on that Blu-ray that they did a whole print of it, because it was going off the shelves. So awesome for people to be getting their hands on it. And yeah, it just speaks to, like, finally, when you do like a definitive collection version of something, just how much it can like really run off the shelves everywhere.
If you're waiting in line for the 4K of Excalibur, as we say, stay in line. Stay in line.
Get I'm not back in five minutes. Just wait longer.
Yeah. Just wait. Yeah.
All right, cool. That's fantastic. I have one. This is selfish plug time. Umbrella have just released the beautiful 4K edition of Martin Campbell's No Escape, starring Ray Liotta and a whole bunch of folk. I was lucky enough to be the producer on this. It is an amazing set. I'm holding up the artwork to Drew. So Ben Turner did this sensational box for it, did the outer box. It's absolutely brilliant. It has our Die Hard on a Blank boys, Liam Billingham and Phil Gawthorne, as a commentary track on here. There's a new interview with Jason Bard, who was an Australian production designer at the time, made a bunch of the Dead Bodies. I did that with him. And there is a brand new interview with Gail Ann Hurd, the producer of this movie, with me in the book, in amongst essays from Brandon Straisnig and Jedediah Ayres. It's really a fantastic set, and I'm so proud of all the guys who did, guys and gals who did their contributions to it. It's brilliant, and Ben Turner is my favorite artist going around right now. He does so much of the artwork for One Hit Minute Productions, and I've been working with him on a couple of releases recently, and I just love this one to pieces, and I love Ben. So it's a great set. It's a great movie. It's underseen, and it's really at that peak time in the late '90s, mid to late '90s, where, you know, everything had to be physical. It's all shot in Australia on Australian sets. The action is fantastic. This weird kind of amalgam of, you know, futuristic sort of Mad Max aesthetics and weirdness. And just some of the action set pieces are as good as any Martin Campbell action set piece. And you know, I'm talking GoldenEye, I'm talking The Mask of Zorro. Like the explosions are fantastic. The acting is brilliant. And I just love this movie. I was such a great privilege to be a part of it. And I hadn't seen it since VHS before I started working on it again. And the 4K looks absolutely brilliant. So definitely get your hands on No Escape.
Send me that copy in the mail, you know, and while you're at it, you can the Super Nintendo game that it was made, that they made for it as well.
Was there a Super Nintendo game?
Actually two. There was a Sega Genesis and a Super Nintendo version. My God. So yeah,
we used to be a real culture, you know.
I know. I miss a serviceable licensed video game. We just don't get them anymore.
We don't. And
now it's just a Fortnite skin. Oh, it's a Fortnite skin. Give me a break.
Do you remember there was a, I mean, this is a little bit later than that, but do you remember, like, there was a really great Lord of the Rings game where you could fight as Aragorn?
The Super Nintendo one?
No, I think, I can't remember if it was like PlayStation 1 or 2, but it was like Lord of the Rings, and you could be Gandalf, and you could be Gimli and Legolas and Aragorn.
Oh, it was actually a tie into the movie?
Yeah, there was a tie into
There
was a tie into the movie, and it's still the best game, one of the best movie games I've ever played. And there was a great Batman Begins game as well that was voiced by like Christian Bale and Michael Caine and stuff. That was really fun, and
yeah,
they just don't do that anymore.
They used to have those in their contracts that they had to.
Oh, man.
Remember the Path of the Matrix or whatever that it actually had like 30 minutes of footage in there that was like bridge material
That was with like Animatrix, and then that game you had to connect the dots between Reload
We love a transmedia experience, don't we?
I will go down a transmedia rabbit hole. If I like something, I will play the game. I'll sit in And I will get a question. Why are you playing that? I need to see the footage. I need to see the cutscenes.
We need to see what Neo was up to in the months leading up to Matrix Reloaded. What did he have for lunch? Well, play a Path of the Matrix. You'll find out.
Yeah. There's an Australian actor named Lockie Hume, who has been in a bunch of things, but he actually, his biggest role to play, like he was in the Matrix sequels, but he said he spent more time filming cutscenes for the video game, like in motion capture for the video game, than he spent shooting the movie. So like him and Jada Pinkett Smith and those people making that game were treating that like a side production. Like they shot all of that stuff like it was a whole, you know, 30 to 40 minute interstitial episode.
Who did he play in the sequel?
I think he's like the, he's like one of those, like, he's not the guy that goes into the Matrix, but he's like your guy who works, you know, he like plugs you in.
Like, oh, in the
like
real
he's
world.
Sort of like their link, you know, like upload, you know, that guy, that sort of person, not anything special.
Well, I mean, being a part of the Matrix universe.
I mean, being part of the Matrix. Yeah, that's special. But I mean, like, I feel like if you
he plays a character named Sparks, okay, he is an operator on a ship called Logos.
That's it.
And he gives players tips and information. So he really is—he's not Link. He's the little fairy that follows Link around and tries to help him, get through Hyrule. I mean, that's cool.
I'm into that too. Now that game,
I like that in this description I'm reading, it describes Morpheus as Niobe's ex-boyfriend, which I think is a great, you know, that's how we all recognize Morpheus.
Yeah, that's what I think about when I think of Morpheus.
Yeah.
Niobe's ex-boyfriend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
What a time to be alive.
Well, there's more stuff coming around the corner.
What are you most excited about this month that's coming out?
Okay. This month, let's have a look at the list. Let's go to our little.
I got a few off the bat.
Yeah, hit me.
I'm just gonna throw out there. I am so excited about the Radiance 4K of Cutter's Way.
Oh yes, yes. I've got a version of Cutter's Way, but I do not have it on 4K, so that one will be pre-ordered.
And then the 4K of this movie, which actually might be Australian, called Dead Kids. Have you ever, or Strange yeah. Behavior is the other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Indicator is putting that out. And I am just so excited. I think that is an unsung gem. I watched the Synapse release from a few years ago. But yeah, okay. So it's not an Australian movie, but it was in that same milieu of Strange Invaders. Did you ever see that? The Strange trilogy?
No.
It's another weird movie directed by the same guy that did Strange Behavior. And it's if you're a big Paul LaMatt guy, which I am, because I love, I love
a sentence that's been said so few times.
But, you know, American Graffiti, obviously.
Yes.
But I love Demi's Melvin and Howard, which. Talk about a movie that needs a fucking release.
All of the Demi stuff needs, like, you get the limited, you get certain things, you know, you start making Sense and Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
And you get some of those ones that get like proper releases. And then a lot of stuff is just not, it sucks. It sucks.
I did get the new Married to the Mob.
Oh,
from
wow.
Vinegar Syndrome, which is, this is, I think, the third or fourth Married to the Mob I bought, but like, beautiful. Look at that cover.
It's gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
But I don't know where Melvin and Howard is, why Criterion or someone has not picked it up. It won Oscars. Like, I don't understand these movies that have kind of, I have a Twilight Time disc,
yes.
Which obviously is very out of print, but yeah, anyway.
They're the ones. One I have never seen, but I'm just going straight to the 4K, is Blue Thunder, the Roy Scheider movie. The helicopter movie.
Yeah.
Have never seen it. Heard about Christopher Nolan mentioning that he was giving it to the cast of The Odyssey. Was like, that sounds hilarious. I'm going to check that out.
That's not coming out until May, though. So you're jumping the gun.
Oh, I'm jumping the gun. Okay, sorry. What else have we got happening in March? Hit me.
Okay, what are we? I've got. Well, we got some great Criterions. We have Killers of the Flower Moon. Talk about
absolutely must have. I've been dying to see that movie on actual physical media. I don't like watching
Stout it. Stout has some good ones coming out. They've got Devil's Advocate coming out and some others this month. Are you a Kino Lorber guy? We haven't talked about Kino Lorber.
Yeah, we haven't
much.
Talked about Kino Lorber. Yeah, no, hit me with that.
So we've got Somewhere in Time coming out in 4K. Mimic is coming out in 4K.
Have to get Mimic. Have to get Mimic. Have to
Runaway get Mimic. Train. You have to get 4K.
Yes.
And Dead Again, which I really love that movie. It's very odd.
That's Kenneth the Branagh. Yes, one came out on imprint a few years ago as a Blu-ray. It was a very weird curio of a movie. I was like, Jesus Christ, what the hell is this thing? Yes, definitely keen on grabbing that.
Robin Williams gets killed in a meat locker.
Very bizarre. And it's like his like second movie performance. The one that I do want to pick up out of the Shout Factory / Scream Factory ones that are coming out with Devil's Advocate, I really, really want Outbreak. On 4K.
Yeah, same.
I want Outbreak on 4K. That's one I'm like.
And Hail Caesar,
oh.
Which is a unsung Coen movie, I feel.
And this year, already had a chat with my friend Connor O'Donnell for the Decade Project. It's been out for 10 years this year.
Wow. When am I getting on the? What do we got? What anniversary have we got coming?
You've got two. You've got two coming up on the Decade Project.
Oh, great.
You have picked. I'm going to open it up right now. Drew came in blustering and annoyed that he wasn't the first choice, but here he is. He has, actually, you technically have three. You've got Cure for Wellness, Gore Verbinski. So we've got that. I've got a copy of a Blu-ray bought specifically to be prepared to talk to you.
I have a quote on the back of that box. Go ahead.
Doctor Strange is another one that you selected for yourself.
Did I?
I don't know why.
All right, great.
And then one with your great former co-host on Light the Fuse. He and I are going to do The Lost City of Z.
Oh, yes. Well, he's really my co-host in life.
More than best anything. Friend.
Yeah.
Hetero life mate, as they call it.
Hetero life mate, yes. Oh, this is why we're going to talk about Doctor Strange. It's because I actually went to a test screening of Doctor Strange. So we're going to talk about that experience, which was very unique. Yes. Yeah.
I want to... Drew, you can't tease me with stuff like that, because then I just want to ask like 100 questions immediately.
Well, we're gonna get into it. It's gonna be a hell of a podcast.
There is one. I don't know if it's. Can you just check if it's March? Is the Godfather the Japanese Godfather trilogy?
That's out already.
Is that out?
I have my copy somewhere.
It's in a cart somewhere. I don't know which bloody site I have it on, but that's one I've got to get. I really have to get it.
I got that. It's great. I mean, I'm a slut for Radiance.
Yes,
you know, that's really.
I can absolutely understand. I just picked up the Tom Noonan. Legendary actor, director, musician, big One Heat Minute Productions guy from his role as Kelso in Manhunter and then Francis Dolarhyde in as Kelso in Heat and then Francis Dolarhyde in Manhunter. His film from Radiance that they put out, What Happened Was, is out. It's got a great essay from Adam Naiman and a bunch of other special features on there, but I just picked that up. I love the Radiance stuff too. It's great. And always
very... Do you have these? I've picked up these Shaw Brothers box sets.
I haven't got
they've been on
yet.
Sale the past like month, and so I just got almost all of them, and they are phenomenal.
Yeah,
between this and the Arrow Shaw Brothers Shaw
the Shaw Scope ones from
the last Shaw Scope one, the purple one, has some of the weirdest, coolest movies in them, so I would heartily recommend that. Yeah, we've got some Agitator is coming out this month from Radiance, which is a Takashi Miike movie, and they have put like the 200 minute long two part version of the movie on the disc, which I just got somewhere. They are the best, and they're the ones putting out the Cutter's Way. So,
and
Marty Supreme is coming out from A24 at the end of the month. So,
very excited. I think this is right. The Phantom 4K. Is that March or April?
April.
April. So, yeah, that's the big one. Shot in Australia. My friend Maria Lewis did an amazing audio documentary series called The Phantom Never Dies. This movie is huge for us. I'm so excited to see it on 4K. It's a brilliant movie. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
I'm not sure it is a brilliant movie, but I am very... What the children of today don't realize is that for a glorious period in the 90s, they all decided that throwbacky 30s serial characters were going to be the next big
Rocketeer,
Phantom, the Shadow. None of them made money. I would say that most of them hurt everyone involved, including the Phantom. And I think Dick Tracy is in there too.
Dick Tracy.
What a glorious moment to be alive.
I mean,
it's like Roger Rabbit was sort of like the successful one, but yeah. it wasn't really based on anything, but the same energy, I would say.
I would just say this as well. It's like there are things like Beyond Fest in your great hometown, right? Your town.
Yes.
There. Like, why not just in one day show the Phantom, Dick Tracy, the Shadow, like, and the Rocketeer? Like, if you walked out of that theater after that movie marathon and weren't feeling awesome, ready to slam evil, Drew? I don't know if I can.
That'll put some lead in your pencil for sure. Watching all those in a row, for sure.
All right, guys, we'll catch you in the next couple of weeks. There's going to be some more deliveries to both Drew and I, sent from our lovely film label friends, and or just waiting to arrive from all around the world that we've bought for ourselves and trying to hide.
Testing the patience of our family and wives specifically.
Specifically.
But yes. Yeah.
We'll talk to you more about all that sort of stuff soon, man. Thank you so much for chatting again. Hit us up on socials at Drew Tailored for Drew and at One Blake Minute for me. I have had a couple of like notes about special editions when we talk about them. People very excited to hear us talking about the Domino special edition. Had lots of views on the socials from our last episode, which tells me that not many people knew about a Blu-ray of Domino. Which the Domino heads out there and the Tony Scott heads, they're a great community. I do have to ask you one last question before I go because it annoyed me in Australia so much. Is the whole bloody affair, the Kill Bill new cut, coming to 4K? Is it coming?
It is. It is coming. From what I understand, it is coming from our friends at Lionsgate Limited, which I don't know if you've gotten anything from them.
I got the Kill Bills before they came to imprint from Lionsgate Limited.
Okay. So as far as I know, it's going to be a Lion. So Lionsgate Limited is, they are limited editions, usually steelbooks. They're really expensive, but kind of limited run. And that is where I've heard that it's coming. But I can't imagine that they won't do a, like, you know, regular run through of those. But we haven't. It's available on digital here now.
It just came on digital in Australia. It had no even like cursory one or two, you know, repertory screenings or anything like that. I saw it pop up. I bought it. I was like, I want to actually sit down and carve out some time for it. But I don't like it on digital. What annoys me about digital is I'll buy it on digital because I want to watch it immediately. But when the physical media comes out, that's what I want in my collection. That's what I want to keep watching. So,
I saw before the actual kind of commercial release at Christmas in June, I saw it at the Vista, which is Tarantino's, one of Tarantino's theaters. Wonderful experience. It was the Cannes cut. So there were French subtitles through the whole thing. And, yeah, it was a joy. Absolute joy.
All right. Well, we will catch you in a couple of weeks to talk about more. We'll dig into March because we'll be there. We'll be right on the hot heels of April and we'll pick up, I'm sure, some other random things that are on sale that we'll want to share with you guys.
Blake is looking forward to illuminating us all about whatever random Australian movie that he's dug up that has been turned into a 7-disc special edition from
Looking
Umbrella.
For Ale Brandi deserves it. How dare you? How dare you?
I'm excited to see it.
I think you'll love it. I think you'll love it.
It sounds great.
Yeah, it's going to be great. All right, guys, thanks for listening. We'll catch you on the next episode of Dis Around the Corner soon.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.